Amen. Before we go to prayer, I just want to mention Levon couldn't be with us. She needs her rest, and for another couple of weeks, they don't want her to do housework, and you know Levon, she's always busy, so it's kind of hard for her. But anyway, keep her in prayer. Pray for Christian and his family as they drive back, and I think that's. And then my uncle Ed, I got word this morning, he passed away this morning, which they said was actually his gift to the family because it was on Father's Day. So anyway, so let's just go to our, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're here to hear your word, and Lord, we're believing, Lord, that you're unveiling things to us that we didn't know before, and really getting us ready for actually our incarnation. So Lord, we know that we've already been incarnated per se because your Holy Spirit's been growing inside of us. And so Lord, we just pray that we would be ready at that day, which I believe would be very soon. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now this morning we're going to look at I titled this Manifest Doxa or Delusion. In other words, you don't have any other choices. You either manifest the opinions, values, and judgment of God, or you manifest the delusion, which is for the rest of mankind. Now, this morning we're going to look at some very interesting things Brother Branham has to tell us. From Satan's Eden, he says, over in Revelation, he said, "And I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, descending from God out of heaven." Then he reads further and states, "There was no more sea, the first heaven and the first earth was passed away." Now, you know, I always believed that the heavens were, you know, like the Bible says in Genesis, the heavens and the earth, you know, God separated the water from above. And so I always thought it was, you know, a place, you know, above. But then he states something I never saw before. He says, what was the first heaven? It was the millennium. So this is after the millennium, you know, when the new earth and new heavens are passed, okay? What's the first earth? What's this? You ever see that before? I didn't either. So we're seeing things that we didn't see before. Now, it'll be renovated just like it was baptized by Noah in the days of his preaching. It was sanctified by Christ as he sprinkled his blood upon it and renovated it, take all the germs and everything off of it. In the renovation at the end, with the fire baptism that'll kill every germ, every sickness, every disease, every filth that ever was on the earth, shall burst forth and come forth a new earth. I wonder if we're understanding the importance of what baptism is all about. Why baptism? The earth baptized by water first, then baptized with fire at the end. Just like we are baptized by water first, right? But that's not the baptism, the great baptism. It's the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is a lick of fire. For the Holy Ghost baptism of fire. Remember, on the day of Pentecost, they all received a lick. Well, I believe you did too. Brother Branham, when he saw Brother Vail enter, he said, "I saw a lick of fire over your head." That's a testimony of Jesus Christ. Okay, so I saw a new heaven and a new earth. First heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, descending from God out of heaven. Now, from his sermon, Christ is the mystery of God revealed, he said, look, Christ in you makes him the center of life of the revelation. What's revelation? Come on, what's the word revelation mean? A manifestation, right? Manifestation of divine truth. Okay, Christ in you makes him the center of the manifestation. See, Christ's life in you makes him the center of the manifestation. He said revelation is manifestation of divine truth. In other words, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living. But really, it's not me living anymore. It's Christ living in me. So he is the center of my whole life. Okay? Christ in the Bible makes the Bible a complete revelation of Christ. Christ in you makes you the complete Again, I'll say manifestation. He says revelation, but manifestation of the whole thing, because revelation is manifestation. See, what God's trying to do, what is the new birth then? You say, well, Brother Branham, what is a new birth? It is a revelation or the manifestation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Now, I'm going to show you in Scripture. That's true. Amen. See, not you joined a church, you shook a hand, or you've done something different. That's all religion, okay? A lot of people are religious, but they don't have it. You said a creed. You promised to live by a code of rules, but Christ, the Bible, for he is the word, that was revealed to you, and no matter what anybody says, what takes place, it is Christ. No pastor, no priest, whatever it might be, is Christ in you. That is the revelation or the manifestation that the church was built upon. You see, for years, a lot of people, you know, come and go in this message. They've done, people sat around for 50 years and never had a clue. Then they left, you know, this message because they didn't see Christ in them. All right? All focus was on Brother Branham, the man. All right? You say, well, I'm a Lutheran, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Presbyterian, I'm a Godhead, I'm a Parousia, I'm a whatever, okay? That don't mean that to God. Brother Branham snaps his finger, and I should have done with my right hand, but not a thing, not a snap of your hand, or not a snap of your finger. What is it? It's Christ being revealed, Christ being manifested, and he is the Word. And when the Word is revealed or manifested, it expresses itself, because that's what manifestation means, right? That's what the unveiling of God means. It means God's manifesting himself, right? All right. That's God's purpose for Jesus Christ, was to express himself or manifest himself, to take his own laws and live by his laws and fulfill his laws by death. How do you do that? Christ is in me, right? Paul said, I'm not living this life. It's Christ living this life for me. He's in you to will and to do. You see, it's all about God. Christ, God died in the flesh in order to condemn sin in the flesh, that he might bring to himself a glorious bride redeemed back, that will believe only his word of God and not swap it like Eve did for intellectual conception of man. You see it? That's Christ's idea. That's God's idea. The new birth reveals this or manifests this. Okay? And that is why we are baptized first with water and then with fire, just like the earth had to be. And if a man says he's born again and try to place these promises of Christ in the last days to some other age, making him Christ yesterday but not today, and then that man or that person has been in a delusion by Satan. You know, I'll just say it. The scripture came to me and says, any man that says that Jesus is not the Christ, you know, he's not born of God, right? If you don't know that God is living in you, then you're reprobate, because you're living a life of filth and of the world and everything else. You're not living your life because Christ is living it for you. Now, he'll remind you, because let's face it, we were born in sin, shaped iniquity, come forth the world. So we got a tendency, but you know what? I think we have a lot less tendency than we used to have. Can you say amen? All right. Then the man or that person has been in a delusion by Satan. And if that man says that he believes that, and it doesn't manifest itself through him, Jesus said, Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe, into all the world and to every age. Casting out devils, speaking with tongues, all of these great manifestations of gifts that would follow, that they shall, not that they may be, but that they ought to, but they will, and heavens and earth will pass away, but his word won't. All right, so there are two things that Brother Branham speaks here in this paragraph, and this is revelation and delusion. These are two opposing things. But what really is revelation but a manifestation of divine truth? And what is divine truth? The opinions and values and judgments of God. Manifested. All right? And now, since revelation is a manifestation of divine truth, and divine truth is God's word, then divine truth is actually God's mind, which is his opinions, values, and judgments, which is his doxa. In other words, God has called us to reflect him, to echo him. And then if we reflect and echo his word, we begin to reflect and echo his life. Now, let me ask you this. Did the word come to you first and then you change your way of living? Is that what happened? I think it did. God's working in you to will, and then the body follows later to do. Okay. Notice it is not words, but it is just knowledge. It is not just words. It's not just words. It is not just knowledge, as though someone tells you something or your mind understands something. The definition of revelation is that it is a manifestation of divine will or truth. It is his doxa on display. Did you know that? That's why you become the living word of God. That's why you become Bibles read of every man, okay? Remember 1 John 5 and 12. He says, he that hath the Son hath life. And the word is echo. So he that echoes the Son echoes the life of that Son. Therefore, since manifestation is an expression, then we are talking about invisible doxa becoming visible in your life. How? It is Christ living in me, like Paul said. Now, Brother Vail spoke to me about 3 months before he died and said, Brian, we have had the doctrine and we understand the doctrine, but if we don't have the life, we won't make it. Now, notice the apostle, and then he told him to go preach it. Now, notice the apostle Paul said in Ephesians 3 and 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. All right? So the revelation is a making known of divine will by using something to manifest it. Again, by revelation, by manifestation, he made known unto me. How? What was that manifestation? The pillar of fire struck him off his horse. Now, all of a sudden, he began to understand. When God works in you, his will, you manifest it by doing his will. When Jesus prayed to the Father in John 17:22 to give us what he had before the foundation of the world that would make us one with the Father also, John 17:22, and the glory, the doxa, which thou hast given me, I have given them, that they may be one, even, or in the same way, we are one. There goes your oneness theology. All right? Now, it is known fact, that if you have the same life, you will have the same nature, and you can't go through life with no manifestation. You can't say you believe this message and there's no evidence of it in your life. So when we speak of having the same nature or life, we are talking about the same manifestations. Jesus said, the things that I do, you'll do also. Therefore, your manifestation of being one with God, even as Jesus, which means in the same manner as he was with God, is that the manifestation itself is one. It's the word unfolded. It's the word made manifest. It's the word with skin on it. Okay? It is the same. John 14:16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And what is a comforter? It is a God life that he promised will come into you and live in you. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, it's Christ living in me, right? Why do you think the majority of his sermons, Brother Ram preached on the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the new birth? Now, why did the majority of people de-emphasize the importance of the new birth when Leavell preached the parousia? Because the parousia showed who came down, but if you had not his God life in you, you turned to him being present, but failed to see that it's all about his life in you. The parousia was a manifestation of divine truth, and there were 86 signs and events associated with his presence, with his life, with him being here, of which we have already seen 82 of them, which manifestations are showing you he is here. That shouldn't have de-emphasized the life in you, now should it? No. It should have woken you up to the reality that his life was manifested before you, and he expects you to manifest the same. I'll never forget just talking to brethren who believe, oh, he's here, he's here, he's here. But then you talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they say, well, you're just Pentecostal. Listen, Brother Bell told me about 3 months before Brother Bram died, a brother had given him an iPhone with all the messages on it. And Brother Vail said, I've been listening to this now for a few years. He said, Brother Branham was more Pentecostal than I thought. Why? Because he's talking about being born again all the time. So he tells us the world looking at these events do not know or recognize God's presence. And then he says, and I will leave you, and I will not leave you comfortless. Now that word comfortless is orphans. And so at the hour we are to be adopted and no longer orphans, he says, and I will come to you. What's he here for? To make our adoption complete. Okay. Then he speaks what we will see when he comes. Yet a little while the world seeth me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you shall live also. Christ is living in me. See, Paul. And at that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. What's that? The life of God in you. So we must ask ourselves, well, what day is he talking about? When he says, you shall know. The word is gnosko, an experiential knowledge. It is a knowing by experiencing. You've got to have an experience. You've got to experience the Holy Spirit is in you. And he's living your life for you. And he's correcting you when you're wrong. And you and me, and I and you. Now, from blasphemous names, he says, and then, that was number one. Number one, coming to you, your mental faith, right here comes the Holy Spirit, coming down into your mental faith, making it a spiritual faith. Now, I'm sorry, but you can put the ingredients of flour and flavoring and this and that into a pan, but unless you put an egg in there, you won't have any cake, okay? So unless you have the Holy Spirit, your mental faith remains a mental faith. It remains an intellectual conception. But once the Holy Spirit anoints it, now it starts to grow, and you start to grow as a child, okay? Then the spiritual faith only recognizes the Word. Now, and number three. Then you'll have spiritual, you'll have the Holy Spirit and will seal all these things into you as the Holy Spirit covers this. From your faith up to the Holy Spirit seals you in with Christ. Then you become one, amen. You become one. See, you and Christ live together. At that day, you'll know that I'm in the Father in me, and I in you. What day? This day, we will know he's living in me because I see it. All right? In you and me. See, then that's a sealed unit of the Lord God. Now, and then they are vindicated and placed. When that time takes place, they'll become vindicated sons and daughters of God. What vindicates you as a son? Remember last week? By the things that you suffer. What's that? He learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Okay? And what does that get us ready for? The adoption. The change of the body. That's the tent and the little room are changed. Now John 14:21 says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest to him. How? In you. How does he manifest to you? Because I see him doing the things I wouldn't have done. All right? Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, and he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. You see it? From the word becoming flesh in India Trip, he says, now you can express it by mental conception, but if it becomes a real revelation of God, that you see it before it happened and express it in the word form, that word, which is doxa, takes a hold and becomes a material. In other words, the word in you, the doxa in you, the opinions of God, the values of God, how many of you changed your values since you come into this message? The values of God and the judgments of God are expressing themselves in you. You become manifested sons. You see that? Isn't that beautiful? A thought expressed. Oh my, how God could. See, if your heart and your mind is so, and infilled with God's Spirit, until your thoughts become his thoughts, amen, there you are. God's thoughts from before the foundation of the world are then expressed in you, through you, that you were there before the foundations of the world. And then you read Ephesians 1, 3 to 5, and that's speaking of you. It's speaking of you because you were in God's mind before the foundation of the world to be adopted, okay? When your mind and your leading and your guiding becomes a direct place or a direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit that's moving your mortal being, oh my. What kind of a people should we be? If the very Holy Spirit has so embodied or empowered that you don't use your own thoughts, you don't use your own mind, you don't use your own opinions, but the Holy Spirit has you so built until your thoughts and your being is God's Spirit expressing itself through you, what kind of a church would we be? That's beautiful, brothers and sisters. What kind of a people would it be this morning if the Branham Tabernacle this morning was so filled with the presence of God? Why? When you didn't even use your own mind, didn't even use your own thoughts, didn't even have no alternative of your own, but just led by the Spirit. Hallelujah. So filled with God's word, his thoughts, that our bodies begin to express the God life within us. That is when the God word, the doxa, becomes manifested word. That's when you become written epistles, okay? Now, the opposite of this doxa expressed is delusion. It's delusion expressed. A delusion is when you think you know, but you are only deluded. And deluded means to deceive the mind or judgment of. And delusion then is the act or process of deluding or being deceived. The state of being deluded or deceived, a delusion is a false belief or a false opinion. So how does delusion manifest itself? By not manifesting God. It just does whatever it does. It's got its own thoughts. It's got everything else. So if the revelation comes from receiving the dokes of God, which is his opinions and values, then you can see it is based upon God's word, but a delusion takes you away from God's word. We find then two conditions at the end time. First, we have a great promise of an end time revelation. A revelation of what? A revelation of God's dokes, his opinions. And then there in his values. And then there is also a promise that this will be the time of the great delusion, which is anything contrary to God's opinion. And which condition you will find yourself will depend on your own heart, your election, and your love for the truth. So if you love the truth, you'll manifest God. If you don't love the truth, well, then you're not manifesting God. The promise of the great time revelation we find in 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, the manifestation of Jesus Christ. And remember, revelation is unveiling, revelation is unfolding, and thus revelation is a manifestation of Jesus Christ. He is the word that came down with a shout, and he manifested it through a message, the very dokes of God, and again, in Ephesians 1:17, that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, the Father of doxa, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation or manifestation in the knowledge of him. So he gives you the wisdom and the manifestation. He gives you the will and then to do, right? Now, let's remember that the dictionary meaning for revelation is manifestation of divine truth. So if we insert the word manifestation for revelation here, we will read this as following. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and manifestation in the knowledge of truth. So God's promises us that not only will we receive this great wisdom, but we are to also manifest in the knowledge of him. In other words, like he said, 1 John 5 and 12, he that echoes the Son echoes his life. In other words, when you echo his doxa, you will echo his life. That is God's promise to you. And if you don't echo his doxa, you don't echo or manifest his life. So you see, we have a promise of his wisdom and then manifestation. But if you don't receive that, you receive a delusion. And that is manifested in a great deception. 2 Timothy 3:13 says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Now, it's not going to get better. Trump is not going to make things good. He's already tried to make peace, and nobody wants to have peace, so he's turning it over to the Pope. You know what? And that's in 2 weeks from now, that's my question and answer. I'll give you a little tip. It's got to fulfill the scripture. He comes on, the Pope brings the peace, not Trump. Okay? So, anyway, so, you know, when they say peace, peace, then sudden destruction cometh, okay? So he's turned it over to the Pope, and the Pope's going to get it done, all right? Now, all right, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived themselves. So, you see, they're deceived, so they deceive. So the same ones deceiving are deceived themselves, and that is why they seem so sincere. 2 Thessalonians 2:10 says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that are in the act of perishing, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So the greatest thing we have is a love for God, the love for his truth. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. And we know that it is the same lie the devil told Eve, and that is, you won't surely die. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They had pleasure in a wrong thinking and unright wiseness. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of your spirit and belief of the truth. Weren't he called you by our gospel, but to the obtaining of the glory, to the obtaining of the doxa of our Lord Jesus Christ? There are two words that are very important here for us to review. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. He says, with all deceivableness. Now, there is not an English word deceivableness in the dictionary. There is a word deceivable, which means to cause to believe what is not true, to mislead, and there is the suffix ness, which denotes the quality or state of being, of righteousness, or unright wiseness, or not wise, which means incorrectness. Now, notice that the attributes of these people is that they deceive using unright wiseness or incorrectness in their doctrine. How many people were deceived into, you know, getting the thing, okay? I'll borrow Biden's word, the thing. How many people got deceived into it? They were ordained to it. I'm sorry. They were ordained to be deceived. You see? And so they have an unright wiseness in an incorrectness in their doctrine. That is their means of deception. That's how they deceive. Oh, you'll not die, they say, you know. The first seal, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, deceiving the people by unright wiseness in them that perish. Not this bride, in them that's looking for such a thing. Because they deceived not the love of the truth, and Christ is the truth, and Christ is the word, but they'd rather have a creed. That they might be saved, and for this cause God has sent them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Now, it should be translated here, as I looked in the lexicon, the lie. Not a lie, but the lie. Same one he told Eve, that they might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. From his sermon, God of this Evil Age, Brother Ram said, making a strong delusion, as the Bible said it would in 2 Thessalonians. How this man of sin would come into existence and sit in the temple of God, showing himself he was God, and cause the people. What do you mean, showing himself that he was God? Well, isn't he the vicar? What's the vicar mean? Instead of the Son of God? Showing himself that he was God and cause the people to go into strong delusion to believe a lie. And believe it, and believe it, will be damned by it. That's the same thing he did to Eve. He gave her, never told her that the word wasn't right, but gave her a strong delusion that she believed a lie. The spirit of delusion is of the devil. Devil's now working in the children of disobedience. Disobedient to what? What's the children of this day disobedient to? Like Eve was at the beginning, the true word of God. Now we know by our studies that this glory that we are called to is the Greek word doxa, which means the opinions and assessment and judgment, or assessment being values. In other words, it speaks of the very mindset that was in Christ. Paul said in Philippians 2 and 5, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. But he also said in Philippians 3, 15, let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded, and if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. So hold that in your heart, and when you pray, say, Lord, if I don't have it right, I'm expecting you to make it right for me so that I will understand. Because you said, if we be any otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. All right. So what gives us the ability to be thus minded is revelation or doxa that comes from God. Any child who follows the ministry of William Branham should be able to quote Matthew 16, 17. And Jesus answered and said unto them, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, or this revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So we should be aware of this. Then why do the majority of ministers who claim to believe his message refuse to believe what Peter said that brought such praise from Jesus? Remember in verse 13, Jesus had asked the disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say thou art John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Well, you know, those are good choices, but they're not right. And he saith unto them, but whom do you say that I am? Ah, now the bride speaks up. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son, not God the Son of the living God. Okay. Then Jesus called Peter blessed and said those most notable words, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven, and upon this rock, the rock of revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But Peter had just called Jesus the Son of God, and the majority of ministers, so-called, who claim to be following the ministry of William Branham, do not have that same revelation as Peter had, that was given to Peter by God the Father, as Jesus pointed out. So this morning, we're going to examine the difference between the doxa and delusion, because both are powerful influences in the world today. Now, to understand the difference between doxa and delusion, we must know what the two words mean. Because as Brother Branham said about the difference between the appearing and coming, he said they are two different words and they mean two different things, and so does doxa and delusion. Now, the word doxa means the opinions and values and judgments of God. So we see that the doxa of God is something that God had alone. Remember, he dwelt with his thoughts for an eternity, but had not yet revealed it. Then he uncovers or discloses that truth so as to reveal or to make that truth known to men. And we notice that the word expression was used to define what the doxa consisted of, that which is invisible becoming visible. I believed I was a Christian, but then I found myself living a Christian life, and I confirmed I am a Christian, okay? Then if the doxa has to do with becoming material, then a delusion would have to be expressed by non-expression. Now James 1:22 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. So they are deceived by their inaction. You understand? So instead of, well, the Bible says I should get up and go to church, but my inaction shows I don't really believe that. I'll just put it on tape, okay? So James suggests here that if we are not expressing our belief in an outward expression or manifestation, we are deceiving ourselves into thinking we believe when we in fact do not believe. So the absence of expression shows delusion. Now notice the word delusion comes from deception, the act of deceiving, and to deceive, you must take a truth and do something to it to hide it from men. So revelation takes that which is hidden and reveals it or expresses it. While deception takes that which is true and covers it over or hides it from men. And the result is delusion. You can look out amongst the people that claim to believe the message, and you can see who are doers and who are not. Can you? I think you can. Most of them, anyway. So we can say by revelation that revelation reveals or revelation manifests, while deception hinders or delusion hides or covers up truth. In other words, then a delusion is anti or the opposite of revelation, because one expresses and the other suppresses expression. In fact, Jesus said in John 6:45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Well, what about Matthew 13, where Jesus says, they hear, but they don't hear. They don't understand. They don't do nothing. All right? So you see, he that hath heard, he says, every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned. Hearing, recognizing, and then acting upon. He does what? He cometh unto me. He acts. All right? So you see, he that expresses what he has heard from God comes from God, while he that expresses not comes not to God. So one comes to God, one does not. In paragraph 121 that we read today, notice Brother Branham said, and when the word is revealed, it expresses itself. See, that's God's purpose for Jesus Christ, was to express himself, to take his own laws and live by his laws. God living by his laws, how does he do it? He's living in you and me. And fulfill his law to death. So the word has to express itself to fulfill its life cycle. God just didn't think it before the foundation of the world. If he did and just thought it, but he didn't express it, he would be incomplete. That means the doxa, or the opinions, values, and judgments of God, must come to an expression. Christ, Brother Brown continues, Christ, God died in flesh in order to condemn sin in the flesh, that he might bring to himself a glorious bride, redeemed back, that will believe only in the word of God and not swap it like Eve did for intellectual conceptions of men which do nothing. You see it. Now notice he mentions, when the word is revealed, it expresses itself. But then notice in the next paragraph, 122, Brother Branham lets us know that if a man says he believes but doesn't express it or manifest it in his life, he is just living in a delusion. He says, the new birth reveals this. And if a man says he's born again and try to place these promises of Christ in this day to some other age, making him Christ yesterday but not today, then that man or that person has been in a delusion by Satan. And if that man says that he believes that and he doesn't manifest itself through him, then he goes on to, excuse me, and he believes that and it doesn't manifest itself through him, well, then he goes on to talk of certain scriptures being manifested, such as Mark 16. Mark 16 says, Jesus said in Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe into all the world in every age, casting out devils, speaking with tongues, and all these great manifestations of gifts that would follow. If you say that John 14 is only for Brother Branham, then you're just lost, because you're not going to express. It's like one man, a minister, big church, believe Brother Vail. And I heard this from one of Brother Branham's kids. And he said, well, we don't believe that Brother Branham's coming back in the resurrection, but if he does, we're going to be there. In other words, I'd like to have my cake and eat it too. You can't do that, all right? If you're not having Mark 16 or John 14, 12 expressed in you, then you don't have the nature of Christ. That they shall, not that they may be, they ought to, they will. And heavens and earth will pass away, but his word won't. So you see the importance of the expression, for without it, you are only deluding yourself. Without manifesting in your life, that is actually God life living in you. You are living in a deception, brothers and sisters. If If what Paul said, that Christ is living in me, if it's not living, if he is not living in you, then you're none of his. Okay? Now, notice Brother Ram is telling us here that when a person is genuinely born again, there will be a manifestation of that new life living itself out in you. And if there is no expression or manifestation in your life, then you are still dead in your sins, and you only think you are a believer when you actually are not. It's like I said to the man, well, you're not a believer. Well, that's not very nice of you. I said, well, you said you don't believe it. That makes you an unbeliever. You see, your lack of entering into the Word and recognizing the Word and acting upon the Word shows that you're not even part of the Word. So you see the importance of the doxa expressed to the believer. The doxa is what seals us in and gives us the assurance that we really do believe. Because you see the evidence of belief in our life. You say all day long that you believe this message correctly, but saying it and expressing it are two different things. God said, mark them that sigh and cry for the abomination done in this city. He didn't say, mark them who think about sighing and crying, or who say it's a good idea. No, he says, who actually are sighing and crying for the abomination done in the city. All right? The problem we have right here in the message is that men have received their learning from men and got it, but they don't got it. Brother Vail said that. Because the life of the Word is missing, though they can quote it all day long. And I've seen people in this message that were just little compendiums, and they could tell, Brother Brown said this, Brother Brown said that, and they didn't know what they were even saying. They might have it from man, but not from God. But you will know when you have it from God, when it takes a hold of your life and brings with it an expression or manifestation of that truth in your life. Until then, you're only professing it. Brother Bram said in his sermon, Voice of the Sign, the elected listens to the voice, but the unelected ignores and says, nonsense, go on, we'll take the same old school. That is why he preached hearing, recognizing, and acting upon the Word. And Paul said, howbeit we speak the wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our doxa. The hidden wisdom. Things have been hidden for age and age and age. He's made known by it's for our doxa, okay? Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Had they known what the prophets said, they would not in any ways fuss up with Russia. Right? But they do it. Look at this Graham fella. He's a Graham cracker is what I think. So you see, because they could not see or understand the glory, the expressed opinion, values, and judgments expressed in his Son, they crucified the Lord of glory, the Lord of doxa expressed. Therefore, your actions, remember Jesus was the doxa of God expressed, okay? Therefore, your actions or lack of action will give you away every time. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knoweth. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You see, there is an action right there. You will compare, you will search, you will keep looking, and God will let you know you've got it. When you begin to see his life living your life for you. When you hunger and thirst and he begins to fill it. But the natural man, he's not born again, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are only foolishness unto him, neither can he even know them. That word know, I believe, is gnosko, and it means he can't experience them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual, that word spiritual, it actually means spirit-filled. He that is spirit-filled judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we do have the mind of Christ. And if you hear, but you do not learn, it is because you might have heard, but you do not believe. Or else what you heard, you really did not hear or understand. And what you saw, you did not see, nor did you perceive nor understand, lest God would have to heal them, as Jesus quoted in Matthew 13. So by hearing and not hearing and seeing and not seeing, it shows they have preconceived ideas already of what it was that they were hearing and seeing, but their preconceived notions were wrong. That's what Brother Branham said, or Brother Vail told me. He said, I would rather a man come into this message who was Catholic or a rank heathen, who wasn't Pentecostal and wasn't Baptist, because there's too many things they've got to filter out. All right. It's a hard time when you come from one and you come into this message, because then you got to say, oh, my, I had it wrong. Whereas a Catholic says, hey, I never knew that before, you know, but that's the truth. That is why they heard and did not hear, and saw but did not see, nor did they understand. Now, I've seen this firsthand in my ministry meetings overseas, and I've told you before, I've taught nearly 3,500 ministers overseas, and having met them and talked to many of them, and I received also questions from the whole lot of them, and still do once a month, and I think I can say that there is not a person that I've met who claims to believe William Branham's message that cannot quote you Malachi 4, Luke 17:30, and Revelation chapter 10. And all these individuals also know by heart the emphasis Brother Branham spoke of how Peter, by revelation, spoke those most notable words. And yet, if you ask them to speak those most notable words, I have many doubts that all of them could even quote them or would even allow themselves to quote them, because he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Or at least they might misquote them, but they do not believe them. Why? Because they do not believe what Peter said, that one prays from Jesus, thou art the Christ, Son of God. So if the word of God is shown to them, like it is shown to the real believer who believes it, but nothing happens to the other, then what happens to them? They open themselves up for the great delusion. Paul said, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 10, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness, which is unrightwiseness or wrong thinking. In other words, they took pleasure in a wrong understanding. Now, a delusion is a false belief that is strongly held in spite of invalidating substance. If you believe the sky was black, and I told you it is blue, and I had witnesses that that is blue, but you still believe it's black, that's a delusion, all right? And no matter how many hundreds of scriptures you give them, no matter how many hundreds of quotes from Brother Branham you give them, they still don't understand what the prophet of God and the word of God says. Like I said, the man from Tucson, he called me. He thought he was a preacher because he had a ministry on the website. I guess he went to a chat room and spoke to a few people, so he thought he was a minister. And so, you know the story. He wanted to argue with Brother Vail. Brother Vail gave him my phone number, and so he called me. And he said, Brother Branham was wrong when he said God left Jesus in Gethsemane. And I said, well, he said, there's no scripture for it. And I said, well, if I can show you three scriptures for it, would you believe it? Oh, I believe it. You can show me scripture. I said, okay. In Matthew and Mark and Luke, it says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Which means totally abandoned. And he said, well, I still don't believe it. I said, well, that's because you're an unbeliever. Because you said if you gave me scriptures, you would believe it, and you didn't believe it anyway. You're an unbeliever. See, you won't manifest. You won't come to God. Then what are you? You're an unbeliever, okay? And that is one strong delusion, brother. I've talked to these men and they tell me they believe every word that Brother Branham said, but will deny and disagree with what he said. Show them quotes from right from the message and they don't believe it. So instead of the dose of God that feeds upon word upon word upon word, they receive a strong delusion that feeds upon other men what other men have said. Thus, they would rather believe the lie than the truth vindicated by Scripture and the prophetic utterance of thus saith the Lord, because they just can't understand how to put it together. Remember, 1 Corinthians 2 says, unless you have the Holy Spirit, you cannot understand the things of God. So they cannot tell the difference between a delusion and the doxa of God. So that is the great delusion God gives them. So if revelation anoints us to bring forth the expression of the word and creates in us a supernatural understanding that readies us for the adoption, then deception must do the opposite. It will cause them to fall away from the faith, which is the revelation of the doxa. And as we know, there is only one faith. And as Brother Branham said from the Anointed Ones at the End Time, the faith, not a faith, the faith, one Lord. You can't have one faith without believing in one Lord. Therefore, you can't tell me that these men who deny the truth of the word and have no expression of God life in themselves are not intentionally holding to error rather than the truth. Jesus said in John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So the denying the truth is an evil deed. Now notice that Jesus said in Matthew 23:13, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither will you allow them that are entering to go in. Like the pastors in the oneness, oh, stay away from that Branham, you know. Yeah, that's denying people to go in. You see, they themselves will not enter. They will not express, and they will hold others back from that expression or manifestation as well. That is why they try to stigmatize the true understanding of John 14:12 and say that it is only for Brother Branham. Again, we hear Brother Paul say the same thing in Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness, you know, uncorrectness of men who hold the truth in unrightwiseness. Now, the word hold was translated from the Greek word kateko, and it means to hold down, to withhold or hold back. In other words, they suppress the truth. Now notice that they hold the truth in unrighteousness, which means they hold the truth with an incorrect understanding. That's how they hold the truth down. So you see, by teaching error instead of the truth, they are holding it back from the people. Just like we find in the medical profession today. They're, you know, if you show them something that's natural, they won't receive it. They've got the pharmaceutical, and the pharmaceutical says, stay away from all that natural stuff. You know? By telling the people there is no expression, the manifestation for the millennium, they are in fact keeping sons and daughters of God from becoming the manifested word that they were ordained to become. So in order to withhold the truth from the people, they cause the people to stay away from the truth. Stay away from church. Stay away from all the preach. Stay away from church and just listen to tapes only. You know? And then they won't even listen to tapes, okay? And they say you have no need for that fiery experience of the new birth. All you have to do is you believe and you got it. Well, I believe the message of the hour. Then you got it, brother. No, you don't. And thus they suppress the expression of God life from the people. They don't even know what the message of the hour is. Why? Because the people become afraid to check it with the word. Now, in order to teach a lie, they do not come right out and deny the scriptures. No, instead, they will just not quote it. Or when you quote from the scriptures and William Brown. Listen, when I was in Uganda in 2006. And While I was there, I was traveling with about 13 ministers in a van. And they were on their phone constantly because brothers from all over Uganda were telling them, what are you doing with this guy who preaches two gods? And they say, he doesn't preach two gods. And so they came, and we had 260 ministers. Can you imagine that? 260 ministers in this, where we had only invited 40 to 60. But these all came because they wanted to prove me wrong. And I won't get into that, but I mean, we had a showdown, and actually, God helped me, and I just answered all their questions like a machine gun going off. I gave them two or three scriptures and every question they asked. But, you know, finally, when I was getting ready for the airport, one of them called Brother Ben, and he said, well, you know, we've kind of seen the quotes, and we know, yeah, Brian's right. But we told the people, don't preach, don't use those scriptures. We don't need it. Well, what do you need? You know, I was talking about God being here. I was talking about God and His Son, God and His sons. Well, we don't need that. We got church. You know, we're going to build a $40,000 church. Yeah, I'm right. Or no, $400,000 church in Uganda. Give me a break. So, but they'll say, you're not teaching it like our church teaches it, and therefore you are false. They say that I am false because I quote from the prophet and scriptures, and they are right because they teach from traditions and church dogma. But they say they believe God's prophet, and yet they deny what he taught. In fact, in some countries, they won't even allow you to quote from the prophet, yet all the while claiming him as their prophet. No, I don't understand that at all. That's insanity is what it is. So what they do is they tell the people the scripture does not mean what it says. They teach the people that the evidence is your experience. When evidence and experience are two different words, and to borrow a phrase from Brother Branham, they mean two different, completely different. They're two different, completely different words, and they mean two different things. Now, Brother Brown's message, the indictment, says, you poor intellectual, spiritually deprived, rejected upon your grounds, you read the same Bible that any man can read, but you've turned down the Spirit of God. Till the Bible said you'd be given over to a strong delusion to believe a lie and be damned by it. You see, you can read in what the prophet says, and they say, I don't believe it. They're lost. They're lost. I'm sorry, they're lost. Some of them were good friends for 30 years. They're lost. I could show them a quote where Brother Branham said, from John 14, 12, and Brother Branham could explain that he is everyone, every person, every believer, every man. You know, he went five different times, and they said, well, I don't believe it. Well, you're entitled to believe what you want to, but you know what? You're lost. And there was no life expression in the person, just petty. So, but Brother Brown said, you poor intellectual, spiritually deprived, rejected upon your own grounds, you read the same Bible that any man can read, but you've turned down the Spirit of God. Till the Bible said that you'd be given over to a strong delusion to believe a lie and be damned by it. And you actually believe that you're right. And the Bible says that you'd believe it and be damned by the same lie that you believe to be the truth. Therefore, I indict you by the word of God. You are teaching the people an error and crucifying the principles of Christ of holiness and life above. As a person might walk out on the street and become a different person. You're only teaching doctrine you're only teaching doctrine, but you're not teaching the life, or not both anyway. Now, remember, the ones who teach life without the doctrine are teaching it from a legalistic way. Do this, don't do that. Conic Doran doctrines, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. They don't realize that Conic Doran doctrine was Brother Bram answering questions, many questions, not just do this and don't do that. But you're only teaching doctrine or teaching a life, but not both. Now remember, the woman had 9 fruits of the Spirit, but she had lost the 10th fruit, which is the teaching of the hour, which is a doctrine. And so when she realized it, she swept all night until she found it. So what is the best way to hide a real diamond? Put it in a room with 1,000 counterfeits. And what is the best way to hide the truth? Put it in a message with 1,000 counterfeits. Look, the counterfeit religion isn't out there somewhere. It's right in our midst, trying to keep you from the truth of the message, as Brother Branham said. In 2 Peter 2, I'm not worried about what the Baptist says or the Oneness Pentecostal says. It's just gibberish to me. You know, the Baptist is all worried about whether you believe in the flood or not. Good grief. You know, if you can't understand a little bit of, you know, of the word, then what do you even argue? The Bible says, answer not a fool according to his folly. So I don't argue with fools, okay? 2 Peter warns us they crept into the message and brought along with it destructive heresies. Jude warns us that they feast with us and they worship alongside of us. They are clouds without water, and of course, cloud is a witness without doctrine. That's Deuteronomy 32. So how can they worship with us without doctrine? You worship God in spirit and truth, yet they try to worship God outside of truth, and you can't do that. So they try to change the truth. So the error of the wicked is to take the word of God and twist it in such a way as to distort it so it does not say what it actually says. It means they will lie about the truth in order to cause the people to stay away from it. They bring in alongside of truth destructive heresies. That's what 2 Peter says. That's how they suppress the truth. Now John 6 and 12, and I'm almost finished. John 6 and 12, 16 and 2 says, they shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he is doing God a service. Can you imagine that? Well, I praise the Lord. Augustine said that. Praise the Lord. We're just going to kill all the heretics. Yeah. And this Pope is an Augustinian. And these things they will do because they have not known the Father nor me. So notice their expression is not in expressing the word, but in trying to kill the influence of the word, thinking in doing so they are doing God a favor. Can you imagine that they killed the Son of God, when God had entered him for 3.5 years and did miracle after miracle after miracle? They should have stepped back and said, wow, no man can say these things and do these things except God be with them. That's what they actually said, and yet they killed him. John 15:20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Why did they kill Jesus? Because he said their traditions were wrong. On what they were doing, their worship was wrong. They didn't have it right. And they thought, we're the only ones on earth who have it right. And yet they didn't. Look, the law or the Torah, God gave to them as instructions of the Father. That's what the word Torah means, instructions of the Father. They didn't take it as instructions. They took it as theology and debated it and made a mess out of it. All right? If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. Now, Brother Branham warned us in his sermon, Christ revealed in his own word, that people would lose their minds in the end time. He said, in the Laodicean age, the people were what? Naked and blind. What good does light do to a blind man? If the blind lead the blind, don't they all fall in the ditch? Naked and blind and don't even know it. Even their mental faculties are gone. Their spiritual faculties of mental, spiritual understanding, see? Heady, high-minded, they think they got it, but they don't. Have you ever argued with a person who thought he knew it all? Thought he just had every point right, and he was 100% wrong in everything he said? That's a fool. That's an idiot, a fool, because he's blinded by his own intellect. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They go to football games on Sunday. They go to baseball and basketball games on Sunday, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, and despisers of those that are good, having a form of God-likeness, but denying the power thereof. In other words, they're religious. So he says the power of revelation, they don't even believe in it. See, they don't believe in such things as prophets, and so, and they don't believe it in it. Now, from way of a true prophet, he said the Bible said that if they wouldn't believe the word, he'd give them a strong delusion to believe a lie and would be damned by it. And isn't it interesting that out of 7 billion or 8 billion people in the world, 7,900,000 people go for the delusion? I'm sorry for laughing, but how can you go for something that's not thus saith the Lord? How can you go for a bunch of intellectuals? Look, all you got to do is look at the Democrats. They're fighting each other. I mean, they don't even know what they want to promote anymore, because everything they promoted is death and destruction. They have no leadership. They have nothing. And God's just letting them just fall apart, okay? Now, from the way of the true prophet, he said, the Bible said if they wouldn't believe the word, he'd give them over to a strong delusion, believe a lie, and would be damned by it. That's exactly what these organizations and people of this nation's going to do, believing a lie to be damned by it. And from God's rapt gifts, he said, God said he'd give them over to a strong delusion to believe a lie and be damned by it. God said he would do it. You refuse right, see, right wiseness. You refuse right, and you have to take the wrong, all right? Which is not right wiseness, okay? There is no other way. You refuse to go right, and you have to go left. Oh, isn't that wonderful? That's not even political, but that is political, okay? If you refuse to go right, you have to go left. Go some other way besides right. You can't go right and wrong at the same time. That's pretty remarkable, isn't it? When they refuse the Holy Ghost, they refuse Christ. They refuse God's program. They refuse a messenger. They refuse everything. So therefore, they're left in their sins. There's nothing left but then but judgment. From indictment, and we're just about closing. The indictment, he says, if a man accepts Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a creed instead of the word, titles instead of the name, what does he do to the people? He crucifies the effects. What's the effects? It's the manifestation. It's the expression. He crucifies the effects or expression of the word to the people. When he says Mark 16 was just for that generation, and God said right there, Jesus talking to them said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them. How far? Every nation, every creed, every tongue, every race, every people, the same gospel. And these signs shall follow them that believe. And when a man tries to cut that out of the Bible, he crucifies the effects of the gospel to that congregation. So I indict you in the name of Jesus Christ. You're guilty of murdering the Lord. And I like to say, you're guilty of murdering the expression of the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, to get through this sermon. We had 26 pages, but Father, I know it's a lot to remember, but Lord, we do have the PDF online so that people can go back and read the things that your prophet said and that your scripture says. And so, Lord, we just commit it unto thee, and we pray for each and every one of us here that, Lord, we would learn to become the right kind of a son and manifest the doxa of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.